Okay, today's daf is Bechorot Nun Chet. We're going to start at the bottom, Nun Zayin Amubet. You can use the sheet to help guide you in terms of, so I can't teach this until I put these on a chart because otherwise it's just hard to visualize. So just to review, we can look at the chart. We have three opinions in the Mishnah about what times of year they put the animals in. They counted, you know, they stuck them in the pen and started counting them to get the tenth. So Rabbi Akiva says, Prosa Pesach, Prosa Tzeret, Prosa Chag, which we explained was 15 days before the Chag. Notice he doesn't give a specific date. He just says 15 days before. Ben Azai says 29th of Adar, 1st of Sivan, and 29th of Av. Okay, it's close to the other dates because 29th of Adar is about 15 days before Pesach. 1st of Sivan is actually only 6 days before Shavuot, not 15. And Kaftet B'Av is about 15 days before Rosh Hashanah. Sukkot. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon say Echa B'Nisan, which is very close to Kaftet B'Adar, right? Not big difference. Aleph B'Sivan is the same. And Kaftet B'Elul is a whole difference of a month, right? Kaftet B'Av, sorry, my mistake. Ben Azai is actually right a month and a half before Rosh Hashanah, and it's the Kaftet B'Elul, which is right before Rosh Hashanah. Sorry, I got confused there. So you see there's a big difference. Okay, that's like the biggest difference between them. Is it the end of Av or is it the end of Elul? Obviously, what's going to be the connection? Why would you say Av if you want to do it close to Rosh Hashanah? We'll have to explain why Bichlal we're doing it close to the Chagim, right? But that's obvious that there's some closeness, but the Ben Azai opinion about Kaftet B'Av is going to connect with the Ben Azai opinion about is going to connect with the Ben Azai opinion that we saw in the Mishnah that it was another issue, which is what do we do? When does the year start? Is the year first of Elul or is the year the first of Tishrei? And Ben Azai had said in the Mishnah that there was a debate. We're not sure which one, and therefore all of Elul gets done by itself. So that makes sense now why you would do everything in Av and not at the end of Elul, because Elul can't go with the previous year. So you have to stop in Av in order, right? You have to do your own separate count for Elul. Okay, so that's a little background, giving away a little bit of what's going to be in the Daf, but I think it's okay. Before we actually continue, I just want to say today's shir is Refuah Shlema for Nitanei Lam Menchen Tzipor as usual, and adding Sarah Bat Yenta Rachel to the list. Okay, Maishna Tlat. So the Gemara starts off and says, why three times a year? Okay, then if we're getting into all the details, assuming it's obvious we do this three times a year. Where did we get this idea about three times a year? So Amarav Rashila, Lekaba Chorfe Va'afle V'kaite. Okay, and this is going to explain also the connection to the Chagim. Okay, well, one of the reasons why it's connected to the Chagim. One is the animals that were born in the winter. One is the animals that were born toward the end of spring, which would be Shavuot time. And the next one is for the animals born in the summertime. Okay, I think we had this before, that there were like certain mating seasons. They didn't necessarily mate, you know, or give birth all year long based on the mating seasons. And that it sounds like from here, because it's just like the Chagim were all concentrated into a six-month period, right? And there's no Chagim the other 6 months. Theoretically, right, it could be that those times animals just didn't give birth. I don't know exactly the truth of all that. Amar Rabbi Tan Chum Bered Rav Chia Ish Kvar Ako. Kedei Shetehe Behema Metzuya Le'olei Regalim. He gives a different reason. He says, no, the reason is, okay, doesn't have to do with when the animals give birth. It has to do with we want people to have animals for Aliyah LaRegel. Okay, now this line, if you remember from yesterday, doesn't really make so much sense. Because what did we say? We said that there's no issur to do anything with the animals before you do, how does it work? It's once you, we learned at the end of yesterday's Mishnah, right, that Lamanem Ru Shalosh Kornot Lamaser Behema, Sha'ad Shalohi Gia Hagoren Mutarlim Korvelishchot. Until the time of the Goren, this is all instituted by the rabbis, the three dates, right? But once, in other words, the idea was, until those 3 days, you could do anything you wanted with the animals. There was no issur, just like we said with tevel, like fruits, you can't eat until you do maser. With the animals, there's no problem. But once the rabbis instituted these three times, that meant that once that date kicked in, you couldn't do anything with the animals until you maser them. That's all Xera Durabana, right? Midah Oraita, you actually could, but Midah Rabbanan, you couldn't. Well, then, this actually makes no sense. Because this is saying they instituted three times so that the animal, you'd have animals for Aliyah L'Regel, but it actually sounds like you're limiting them because, number one, you're limiting them, but okay, but they're saying do it right now. But you don't really have to do it right now to allow them to be eaten because theoretically, if the rabbis hadn't come up with these dates, you'd have been allowed to eat them. So without having done maaser, really.
And in fact, put them off limits just before.
Right, and you're limiting them until you do it. Exactly. So now they say that doesn't really concern them so much. But the af agav ditnan ad shelo yigia hagorim. Here they get to our issue, right? But didn't we just say in the Mishnah ad shelo yigia hagorim mutar limkor v'lishchot, which would then say that that doesn't make any sense? They say, no. Why nichale dilit avid mitzvah b'mamone v'hadro lizbon v'lechal. People, and this is an interesting thing, right? People would always rather, and I'll tell you another term that kind of indicates the same type of thing that we've learned. People would rather do the mitzvah properly with their possessions. They'd rather first take the maaser. You have to remember also, different than Bechor, where the animal goes to the Kohen. In this case, all you have to do is sacrifice it in Jerusalem, right? And bring it to the Beit HaMikdash, sacrifice it, and eat the meat in Yerushalayim, which if they were going on Aliyah L'Regel, it wasn't such a big deal anyway. So it's not a huge deal for them to have to do this maaser behema. And therefore, they'd rather do it with the mitzvah and then sell it or eat it. And therefore, the rabbis instituted again, if they're going to have people do it, have them do it before the regel, because people don't want to sell their stuff if they're going to end up missing out on the mitzvah. I think that's how you would read it, right? People don't like to miss out on a mitzvah. So they'd rather do the mitzvah first, and then that will free up all their animals. So that's why they said do the mitzvah right before the chagim, when people will need the animals for the chagim. The assumption was more meat was eaten in the chagim, which I think happens in our communities also, right? People eat a lot more food, right? You can see the butcher shops are much busier. Same thing then. What's this like? It's like where we say, it's a little different because there's no issur here really to do it without, like sell it without or eat it without, even though it's a bit of, like you should really do the mitzvah. Lo shavik inish hatera va'achil isura. If someone has two options in front of him and he could do it be'isur, but he could also do it be'heter, we assume he'll pick the heter option. Right? We don't assume that someone's going to go do it be'isur, we assume he'll do it be'heter. So here also, the people would rather do things the right way. There are some statements that talk about, mein genuvim is more appealing than like stolen water, and that there's a bit of statements that seem to go the other way. It's always a little more tempting. The woman or the man is off limits to you. There's temptation there when something's forbidden. This is sort of the flip side of it. Vamai kari le goren. Okay, what a goren is a storage house for grains. So what does this have to do with, it said in the Mishnah, shalosh granot lemaaser behema. What does a goren have anything to do with the animals? Right? It should be the deer or something like that, which is the pen. So amai kari le goren, ditivla kegoren, to teach you that these become, again, only midrabanan, tevel, like the tevel of the fruits in the goren. They want to reference, have you think in your mind about the goren, that as soon as the grain goes into the goren, right, you make the pile and you put it in the storage area, that's when it becomes chayav in maaser. So because of that, and then you can't eat the fruit at that point, right? If you're outside and you just pick something, you're allowed to eat it without trumot maaser. It's only once it goes in the pile, and then they call that the goren. So then it's chayav in trumot maaser. They want to teach you that the same thing is true here. Again, only midrabanan, not midoraita. Become a pras. What's this pras? Well, I already told you it's 15 days, but they want to know where you get that from. Perish Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, ain pras pachot mi tet vav yom. Okay, pras is no less than 15 days. It means it's 15 days, basically. My mashmeh, how do you get that? I'm Rabbi Yavau, pros palga. Pros means half. Okay, if you remember, we always talk about shiurim, bechdechi la pras. Pras is half a loaf. Okay, pras is half. Palga, so now they say it's half. Okay, well, palga demai, half of what? Now you think if it's 15 days, you'd call it half a month, but that's not what they call it. Palga dehilchot Pesach. When we say prosa Pesach, we mean half the time before Pesach that you're supposed to be learning hilchot Pesach. Okay, this famous machloket. Ki ha detanya shoalim v'dorshim bilchot ha-Pesach, kodem le-Pesach shloshim yom. Rashbag omer shtei shabbatot. how early before Pesach do you have to start learning Hilchot or Pesach? Is it 30 days or 2 weeks? So pros means half the time according to Tanna Kamma, according to Chachamim, half of the 30 days that you're supposed to be doing Hilchot or Pesach, which means 2 weeks, basically 15 days. Ben Azai Omer, Bekavtet Ba'adar, Be'echa B'sivan. Okay, so now we have, right, we're going into Ben Azai's opinion. We're going to talk about what's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai. B'mai kamif legei Rabbi Akiva u'Ben Azai. Rabbi Akiva Savar. So again, let's look. Right now we're dealing with, okay, the way I organize in the chart is the reason under each one, right, appears under where each one is. I separated the three times with the reasons for each one. So Rabbi Akiva Savar, Adar Hasamuch Lenisan, Zimnin Malei V'Zimnin Chaser. Sometimes the month is full and sometimes the month is missing. What does that mean? Either it's a 30-day month or it's a 29-day month. Now, there was a calendar and there were ways they calculated the months. In the earlier days, they did it based on seeing the new moon. So the question is, could it, right now we have it set, that certain months are 30 days, certain months are 29 days. Here there's a machloket about could Adar potentially be chaser or maleh? Okay, which means if you're going to count 15 days, it's going to come out on a different date. Depending, that's why he didn't give a date. Okay, he wanted you to know that it's 15 days before, depending on how the month comes out. So let's read it in more detail. Zimnin demikla biyom lamid, zimnin demikla bekaftet. Sometimes it'll come out on the 30th day, and sometimes it'll come out on the 29th day. If there's 30 days in the month, it'll be on day 30. If there's 29 days in the month, then it'll end up being on day 29. Right. Umishum hachi lo kviya lezman. And that's why he didn't give it a date. Uben azai savar, right? It's whatever day is before Aleph Nisan. Right? That's all it is. So before Aleph Nisan, could be Lamed, could be Kaftet. Ulefilcha kviya lezman, but Kaftet, sorry. Uben azai savar, adra samuch le Nisan la'olam chaser. It's never has a day 30. And therefore, and that's why you can give it a date, because there's no chance it's going to be chaser. It's interesting, they're having a machloket about reality, right? Could it be or could it not be? Maybe it never was in their day, but Rabbi Akiva thought potentially it could be. Just the fact that it never did doesn't necessarily mean it couldn't be. Be'echa b'sivan, okay, so now we have to explain, first of Sivan, now here's a big difference. It's not a difference of a day, it's a difference of a week, because one is saying 6 days before and one is saying 2 weeks before, so it's a difference of 9 days actually. So what do they answer? Aide de lo nefishe. What's the problem? The problem is that after Pesach Tul Atzeret, you're not going to have a lot of animals born. If you don't have a lot of animals born, what's the problem? Right? Iamrat liktam li'aser. If we say, therefore, do the maser too early before Shavuot, what are we concerned with? Adamate regel shamalahu. You'll run out of animals before the regel. And, right, it's a... It almost sounds like it's a time where there was a bit of a shortage of meat, shortage of animals. I don't know exactly. Just because there's less animals born, I don't know if it means that they shechted all the ones that were already born, but it seems that they were concerned there would be a shortage of meat and therefore wanted you to do it closer to the regel so that you wouldn't end up shechting the meat earlier and end up without enough meat for the regel.
It does make sense. It sort of gives you a sense of how many animals they would have
Right. Well, that's it, right. If you, I mean, they needed a ton of animals. There were a ton of sacrifices on the holidays. They needed a lot of animals. And it could be the supply got low. B'kaftet ba'av. Okay, now we move on to the next one. This I already kind of explained. Ben Azai, why does he say kaftet ba'av and not elul? Lita'ame, he goes l'shitato de'amar ha'elulim mitasrim b'fnei atzman. Right? The ones in elul have maser on their own and therefore do it at kaftet ba'av and finish before the new year starts. For the yasrinu b'yom lamed, what about lamed ba'av? Why do you say kaftet ba'av? Okay, av is generally has 30 days. Zimnin de'b'chasran le'la av u'b'inan l'me'a bad hekera b'chadash b'yashan. Because kaftet, there sometimes isn't a lamed. And then if you would say lamed, people would assume lamed or potentially the whatever. When there's no lamed, so what is lamed? Lamed is actually the first of the next month. So it would be the first of Elul. If you do it in the first of Elul, then people were concerned that maybe you're going to take the animals that were born on that day, on the first of Elul, and put them into the lot, and then you have a problem because we have to make a distinction between the Chadash and the Yashan, and therefore he says, do it on the 29th of Av, even if it's not the last day of Av, at least, you know, we won't make the mistake of adding the ones of Elul together with them. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Be'echa B'Nisan, Be'echa, it's interesting, by the way,
they didn't just have said the last day of Av.
Right, exactly. It's a little strange they don't say the last day of Av, I agree. would sound like there could be some other way to do that and make sure that people know that. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Be'echad b'Nisan, Be'echad b'Sivan, right? And then Kavtet be'Elul. Be'echad b'Nisan, so now we have to explain his Shita. Ki Rashbag de'amar shtei Shabbatot. He holds, just like Rashbag, who say you start doing the Hilcha Pesach 2 weeks before. 2 weeks before it comes out on the first. That's when we're going to do this also. Okay, because right, the 15th, so minus 14 days, you get to the first. So he views, and now there's no pros in his dictionary here, in his understanding. He just says, just like you start learning Hilchot Pesach 2 weeks before, do your animals. It's almost, how do they view this? It's preparation for the Chag. So it fits perfectly well with the preparation. You could say that Rabbi Akiva holds also the same thing as preparation, just like you have to learn the Hilchot Pesach, you also have to do this. But he says, but you don't need as much time for this as you do to learn all the halachot of Pesach, right? We all know how complicated they can be. So do it halfway in between that time. But he says Shtei Shabbatot, and therefore comes out Be'echad b'Nisan. Be'echad b'Sivan, Kedamaran. So Echad b'Sivan matches Ben Azai. We already explained that because we don't want to run out of animals for Shavuot. Be'kavtet be'Elul, so what's that? Ah, well, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon L'Tamayu. They go according to their own reasoning. De'amre ba'alef tishrei, Rosh Hashanah l'maser behema. They hold that it's alef tishrei, and therefore the cutoff is obviously going to be kavtep elul. But then they say, v'lama amru b'kavtep elul, v'lo amru b'echad b'tishrei. So now why didn't they say echad b'tishrei? Now we have a good answer, because we already said, if you do it echad b'tishrei, you're going to end up confusing and maybe taking ones that were born alef tishrei, but here they give a different answer. Mipnei shu yom tov. Well, it's yom tov, and we're going to see what's the issue of yom tov. Well, they painted it with red, the animal, and you can't paint anything with red on the Chag. So therefore, since it's Rosh Hashanah and it's a Chag, they say do it the day before. So now the Gemara asks my question, which is, why don't you just say you can't do it on Olive Tishrei for a different reason, because we want to distinguish between the old year and the new year. So therefore, do it on the last day of the old year, and it's always Kavtet Be'elul, it's never 2 days. So they say, Chada ve'od ka'amar. What it's saying is, there's this reason and another reason. It's actually two reasons. Chada de'vi'ina l'me'a bat ha'ker v'chadash v'yashan, just like we said, you need to distinguish the new and the old, and that's why they did it on the 29th. Ve'od, and even if you didn't have that answer kind of thing, mipnei shu yom tov v'yefshar la'asir v'yom tov mishum sakrata. Because of the red, you can't do it on yom tov, you can't color it on yom tov, and therefore you also couldn't do it for that reason. Okay, so now we've dealt with all the different opinions here, the three dates and why they have differences of opinions about them. Some had to do with the calendar, right? Some had to do with running out of animals. Some had to do with what's the cutoff point of the year. Okay, now we're going to deal with the machloket about the cutoff point of the year. Rabbi Meir omer be'echa be'elul, Rosh Hashanah l'maser behema. Ben Azai omer, right, that the elulim, the ones in Elul, are suffik here, suffik there. And then we brought the third opinion that it's Elul. I'm sorry, that it's Tishrei. And not Elul. Okay, so there's Elul, Tishrei, or this in between. Tanya. So now we're going to have a bright tip about Ben Azai. Amar Ben Azai. Ho'il v'halalu omrim kach, v'halalu omrim kach, because those say this and those say that. Ha'elulim mitasrim la'atzman. Okay, he says it very clearly. The reason why I say my opinion is because I don't know who to follow. So now the Gemara says, v'lech zeitame dima mistarber. Why doesn't he just figure out which one makes more sense to him? That's the rabbi's job. Don't just say, oh, suffix, so let's, you know, deal with them by themselves. Also, you end up with problems. If you deal with them by themselves, you end up doing less maaser, potentially, because if you don't have an exact 10, you're going to have animals that don't go here or there. So they ask, right? It's interesting, because lots of times we have sfeikot, and they don't ask, why don't you just decide? It's very interesting, and it's going to be interesting, the whole focus here, the discussion here is kind of interesting in terms of why were they dafka kind of targeting Ben Azai and saying, what's the deal here? Why can't you just decide? It's a good question, and maybe we'll see from the end why they're trying to do this. If you want to suggest that Atamayu, maybe he couldn't figure out what, you know, he wasn't able to figure out what was the best reason here. Oh, by the way, before I go on, I forgot to say this the other day, but I don't know if you noticed this, but starting from yesterday's daf, there's Rashi and there's Ketav Yad Rashi. Okay? There's two versions of Rashi, and it's unclear which is this manuscript. They called it the Rashi Kitav Yad, because they said, oh, it's some other manuscript of Rashi. They're not sure which is the real Rashi here, and that's why they're both here. So from here to the end of the Masechet, which isn't very long, but there's going to be two sets of Rashi here. I just wanted to point that out. Okay. So now they're going to ask, why couldn't he just decide? And if you want to say so first they said he couldn't decide. Say, why would you say he can't decide? Vahatanya, and this source is going to somehow make them convinced that Ben Azai knows how to decide between opinions, says that Ben Azai Omer, Kol Chachmei Yisrael Domim Alai Ki Klipat Hashum. Okay, all the Chachamim to me are like the peel of a garlic. Now, a peel of a garlic is, right, just something you throw in the garbage. It's nothing. Chutz min ha-kereach hazeh, except for this bald one. Okay? Now, what does he mean? So who's the bald one? Some people say the bald one is Rabbi Akiva, because his son, they named Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, is known to be Rabbi Akiva's son. And what do you mean Korcha? His name is Rabbi Akiva. So they say, oh, well, they called him the bald one. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha is from the bald, the son of the bald. Some people say it's Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Right? I think that's another opinion I saw. Think that. And another person says it doesn't actually have to do with bald. It's just that that there was someone whose name was Korcha, okay? And that it's someone else entirely. Why do they bring this? Because they basically say, look, he was able to be Machriya and say there's one person that stands out above the rest. So theoretically, he should have been able to determine who was right here. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipi Hashmua Amarua. So the question now is, why, if he has ways to be Machriya in other cases, or, he seems to hold certain rabbis in higher regard, why couldn't he decide here? And the answer is, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipi Hashmua Amarua, Mipi Chagai Zachariah V'Malachi. Here's another very strange thing. They were coming with a masoret in the name of the Nevi'im. In other words, each side had maybe a different Navi to support his, right? They all had a Masoret that dated back to, what's Chagai Zachariah Malachi? And was it really from them? I don't know. But what's unique about the three of them? They were the last Nevi'im. So they're basically saying, this goes back to a tradition from the time of the Nevi'im. Now, why is this strange? We've learned many times that you can't learn halachot from Nevi'im. There's Nevi'im and there's Chachamim, and the two are very different categories. And that's why it's interesting. They talk about Chagai Zachariah Malachi, because that was like the big transition where we no longer had direct word from God and we needed the Chachamim to be Koveh. But even though we had Nevi'im before that, they basically say you can't learn halachot from Nevi'im. So how can we possibly have this Gemara? This seems to totally contradict that. It says, they each had a Masorah from a Navi, so we couldn't say one is better than the other because everybody had a legitimate claim. So they explain that it's not that the Navi was mechadesh any halacha or anything. It was that the Navi had a masoret. And if you're going to pick anyone in that time period that was the most, reliable to pass on a masoret, well, you would assume it would be the Navi. So if they each had a masoret that dated back to the Navi, well, that's a pretty strong masoret. Okay, not necessarily that they learned it from the Navi or the Navi was mechadesh something. Okay, Tanya. Another thing about, another bright about Ben Azai. Be'ezet Saramar Ben Azai, Elulimit Asrim Latzman. How does it work when he said the Elulimit Asrim Latzman? So here goes some examples. Noldulo Chamisha Ba'av. He had five, not on the fifth of Av, he had five animals born in the month of Av. Bechamisha Be'elul, five animals born in the month of Elul. Ein Mitzterfim. They don't join together because Elul is the new year. Chamisha Be'elul v'chamisha Be'tishrei, Ein Mitzterfim. Ah, but since maybe Tishrei is the new year, so then if you have five in Elul and five in Tishrei, they can't be joining either. That's how he says the Elulim Mitzrafim Bifnei Atzmah. But five in Tishrei, Chamisha B'Tishrei, B'Chamisha B'Av, Mitzrafim. But if you have five in Tishrei and five in Av 10 months, right, 10 months later, Mitzrafim, they join. Well, that's a very odd thing. Isn't that obvious? In other words, why are you telling us that, right? And that's obviously, if Elul is Safek, but you start in Tishrei, let's say, is month number one or month number two. When you get to later in the year to Av, you're obviously still in the same year. You haven't gone to Elul yet. So
haven't you missed a couple of Gorins by then?
Yes, but we already said it doesn't matter if you've missed Gorenz because the animals of a particular year can all go together.
But just, that shouldn't be hanging out at that.
But yafes. So here. So the Gemara is going to talk about that. So first the Gemara says, Pshita, isn't it totally obvious? The five in Tishrei and five in Av would join. So it's exactly what you said right now, which is Mau Ditema, Kiheha de Mifsike Shanim, Mifsike Granot. You might have thought that just like the cutoff point is the year, maybe the granot also provide cutoff points and you can't join animals. If you missed a goren, you can't join the animals from that goren with that goren, right? From those few months to those few months. Kamash Malan comes to teach you that you can, just like we saw in our Mishnah, where it said that you could. Kiditnan, like it says in our Mishnah, Chamisha lefnei Rosh Hashanah v'chamisha lachar Rosh Hashanah ein mitzdarfim. B'chamisha lefnei agoren, b'chamisha lachar agoren, hare elu mitzdarfim. Okay, the goren is not a cutoff point for whether you can count. It's just telling you this is when you should do it. But if you didn't do it, you can always add them later. They can mix with ones from before, from after. Amar Rava. Rava now brings in a this is like one of those classic halachic, you know, those things that maybe you like, okay? Classic, unique, right? Not exactly a paradox, but an interesting scenario that could develop. L'divri ben Azai, according to ben Azai. So Elul is all suffix, okay? So you have everything before Elul, right? You have Av, you have, let's say, five, right? You have Elul, you have ones from Elul, and you have ones from Tishrei, okay? But you don't have enough in either category right now. So you have five, five, and five, okay? Chamisha be'elul, v'chamisha be, sorry, noldu lo chamisha be'av, chamisha be'elul, chamisha be'tishrei. Konsan l'dir l'itaser. You take all 15 and you put them together. Okay, how does this work? Elul is suffek. Okay, so that's why we get into our classic suffek cases. If elul is suffek, then theoretically, you can't, now he said they're all mitaser b'fnei atzmam. Well, five is not enough. And you have the five here and that's not enough, and you have the five there and that's not enough. But if you put them all together, it actually works because Elul either goes with Av or it goes with Tishrei, in which case you have 10 in each case. So what do you do? Notel echad min ha'elulim. The one you're mafrish has to be from the Eluls. Now, even though it doesn't really discuss this, but you're not actually allowed to determine which one's going to be your maser, but I guess you could put those in the front and those in the middle. I don't know exactly. I didn't actually think about it till right now. Exactly how you do that. Right. Here, let's look at Rashi. V'lo sheyichaven v'yotzienu ba'asirik, da'aktiv lo tibaker, ela kemidume, kigon shemena'am revutzim omdim. In other words, you can't actually pass them through. You'd have to do it in some other way, which we're going to see in the next Mishnah. You could do, because then you don't have to, like, you're not actually mechaven. You leave them standing, and you take a tenth.
Maybe it means you can't designate one, but you could designate that someone one from that middle group of five would be the tenth. That is.
Maybe, right. Theoretically, maybe you could do that, but they're saying actually you couldn't do that. You'd have to do it in some other way. Okay, but Rashi says, Aval imayam aviram bepetach tachal hashevet lo yadaki nafik b'reish asara vachinami amrin an lekama revutzim uomdim areilu musarim. You'd have to do it b'dievet in the way that we're going to discuss in the next Mishnah, where you actually take a tenth from the ones that are standing. You just count them and say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Take the tenth and not put them through because you can't put them through in a way where you're intending how it's going to go. Okay, so notel chamin elulim v'ashar p'turim, and then the rest are p'turim. How does this work? Mima nafshach. Either way you look at it, ibe echab elul Rosh Hashanah. If echab elul is Rosh Hashanah, so then de elul v'tishrei mitzdarfim. Ude av p'turim, and then those five of av would be exempt because you don't have ten. The ibe echab v'tishrei Rosh Hashanah, and if echab v'tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, de av ve'elul mitzdarfim. Av and elul would be mitzdarif, and de tishrei would be p'turim. Okay, so now they say my amar, but what could one say against this? Litzarfo legoren acher, but maybe the five of Tishrei, the five of Elul, find they're the last ones left for the year. Nothing to do with them. The five of Tishrei, theoretically, maybe if it's all misafek, so misafek, what should you do? Take the five of Tishrei and have them join the upcoming year. But you can't do that. Why? Because asiri vaday amar. Because it says the asiri, they learn it has to be vada. You can only take animals that for sure need to be maser. And this is suffik. So asiri vada amar rachmana velo suffik. There's a drasha that it's the tenth vada and not a tenth out of suffik. And therefore, these five of Tishrei that are now suffik can't go into the, join the rest of them. So then they say pshita. Isn't that obvious? No, they say maudetema ligzor. Isn't what's obvious? Isn't the fact that this case of five, five, and five would be totally obvious that you could do this mimanashach. Why do you even need to tell us this, Rava? So they say, Ma'u detema ligzor dil ma'ate lemishka mehanach ka mashmalan. This is really interesting. What might you have thought? That the rabbis would have said, don't do this way. Why not? Because maybe people will accidentally take one of the Tishrei ones or one of the Av ones. And how do we say this works? This only works if the 10th comes from the Elul ones. So maybe the rabbi should make a gzerah and say people will get confused. They'll accidentally take a Tishrei animal or an Av, and that one for sure you can't take, because maybe then Tishrei and Av are joining together. Can't have that. So, because they're clearly in different years. So, kamashmalan, that you can do this. And why is this so interesting? Because when it comes to counting, the rabbis were always concerned that people would mess up counts. Okay, it's why in Nida we're machmir about in Zava days and Nida days, and we're more machmir. We say we have to always keep Sheva Nikiyim, and maybe she's Zava, because women will confuse which days. Is it Zava days? Is it Nida days? And we'll get into it more in Nida. But there's all this confusion about days and counting, and they're always worried that people, that this is a classic example where someone could totally mess up. I mean, to think that you'd think that you could combine these and you'd have to make sure that specifically the 10th, especially if you have to do it in a different kind of way than you normally do it, and you don't pass them tachat ha-shevet because you can't plant. It just seems really interesting that the Gemara isn't concerned for this reality, right? And Rava says, oh no, for sure we can do this. Don't worry that they're going to end up taking the wrong one. So it's interesting. I don't have any reason as to why they weren't so concerned, but they clearly weren't concerned when, like we said, in lots of other cases, they're very concerned. Okay, new Mishnah. This we already read a few days ago. Be'ezet sab masrin, how do we do it? Konsan ladir, you put them in the pen. Ve'oselem petach katan, you make a narrow opening. Why? Kedesh lo yushnayim yicholim latzei ke'echad, so two don't walk out at the exact same moment. And then you'd have suffix, which is the 10th and which is the 9th. Umonim, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, v'hayotze, or 3, 4, 5, whatever. V'hayotze asiri, and the 10th one, soker b'sikra, you paint it red. Ve'omer, right, so you don't get confused which is right. You can imagine why they did it red. Because they wanted it to be totally obvious. So people would, because like we said, what did we see in the previous Mishnah? If he goes back in, you're totally messed up. I was thinking, it's like when you take challah. This happened to me once. I always told you this story, you remember. You take challah, your mafresh challah, and then it gets mixed up back in the dough. So your whole dough has to be burned because you've sanctified this. It's kadosh. And now you mix it up, and now we don't know what's kadosh and what's not. There's kadosh mixed up in there. So don't ever do that. Here also, you end up messing up your whole flock. In other words, you're stuck now with your flock until it gets a moon. You're basically really stuck. So it's all suffix kedusha, and we don't want to get into that situation. So painting it in red is a good solution. Vomer harezeh maser. And you have to say, you kind of call it by name. This is maser. Lo sakru b'sikra. Now we're going to have all the b'dievets. What if you didn't paint it red? V'lo mena'an. You didn't count it. Okay, b'shevet. You didn't have it go tachar ha-shevet, right, where you have the stick and kind of count them. Oshem and an revutzim omdim, or they were all standing in place, this is what I said we get to, and you just start counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, they don't walk, pass under a shevet, right, they're just standing there, or crouching there, and you designate the asiri, hare elu mitasrim, this is all fine. But what's not okay, or there's a machloket, hayu lo mea v'natala sara. But how do you take truma namasro? You don't count how many you have and then take the 10th. No, you kind of just take out, right? So if you had mav and atala sarah, you took the exact amount, but you didn't say, I'm taking the 10th, right? Notice it says in the Pesach HaSiri, Yeh Kodesh. Asarav and atala chad, or there were 10 and you took one. Ein zeh maaser. According to Tanakama, this doesn't work. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, maaser. He thinks this is maaser. Because you just have to take the 10th. It doesn't matter if you called it the 10th or not. As long as you took 1 out of 10, you're fine. Kafatz echad min ha-minuyim l'tochan hare ilu p'turin. Again, if one of the ones you counted jumps back in. So, now here, it's one of the ones you counted, not one of the ones you sanctified. You counted, and then he jumps back in. So, hare ilu p'turin. Okay? All the rest are p'turin, because why? Because now you don't have Vadai ones that are chayav and maser. This is really interesting. It's a huge heter. If one of the ones you counted goes back in, since you can't count that one, because it's only suffix, and we said it has to be asiri vadai, so you now, your entire flock you're patur from maaser behema, because you'll mess up at this point, because he'll be mixed in, you'll use him as part of your count, and he can't be sanctified, and he can't be part of the count. So you'll mess up your whole thing, so you're actually exempt. Again, we see how they're make out with this whole thing, right? That you end up being patur legamre from maaser behema. Oh, I actually said we saw this, but I see it's coming up. I didn't say this yet. Now it's here. I thought it was, forgot. It's in this Mishnah. Mina musarin letochan. If one of the ones you meister, though, yet jumps back into the flock, cool, and you don't know which one, kulam yiru ad shistavu v'yochlu b'muman lebalehen. I thought we taught this already, but I just got confused because I prepared it. But if one of the ones that you mastered gets mixed up, as I mentioned just before, you have to leave them all to graze until they get a mum, and you can't deal with them before that because you have one that's sanctified, and you can only eat it when it gets a mum. All of them.
Once he mops there, did he put the red dye on it?
So if, assuming, let's say you didn't, and there was no way to identify it, right? This obviously means you didn't do that. Because we already said in the Mishnah, if you didn't do it, it's okay, but you can obviously get mixed up. Okay, Gemara starts off. Tana Rabbanan, they bring another braita. We saw this already. I read this the other day. That's exactly like our Mishnah. But here they add, the mothers are outside, the children are inside, and then they all start running out to their mothers. Why doesn't he just take them out himself? It says, they have to pass by themselves and not that he passes them through. Why don't they throw food outside instead of the mothers? And then they'll all go out for the food. They'll go likrat the food. And this is because we don't want animals that were purchased or the orphaned animals, and therefore those who don't have mothers, because the purchased ones, you didn't generally buy them with the mothers, and the yitomim who obviously don't have mothers won't be running out after their mother. We already mentioned the other day, part of the problem, herd mentality, you would assume they probably all go out anyway, but leave it as a question. Tanu Rabbanan. Call us another braita, and here we're going to darshan also a lot of the halachot in our Mishnah. It's basically the same thing as our Mishnah, just going to have where they got it from the psukim. Kol asher ya'avor tachat. So, kol asher ya'avor prat l'trefa. We already learned this, right? The trefa is excluded because he can't pass through, right? Because he can't walk. Again, only particular type of trefas can't walk, but since there are trefas that can't walk, we're going to say this excludes trefot. She'ena over, that can't walk, tachat ha'shevet. Mitzvah l'notam b'shevet. You're supposed to count them with a stick. Lo mena'am b'shevet. O she'mena'am revutzimu omdim. Right? Either you didn't do it with the shevet, or you did it while they were all standing there and you just counted. Minayin. How do you know this works? Tamulamar ha'asiri kodesh mikomakom. The tenth is sanctified. However you determine it's the tenth. It doesn't really matter. It does matter, but if you didn't do it, it's still going to be sanctified. Ve'enli ela shakarashmo asiri. But this sounds like ha'asiri. It sounds like you have to call it tenth. What if lo karashmo asiri? What if you didn't call it by name the tenth? Minayin. How do you know that that also works? Yihyeh kodesh. It says in the pasuk, it will be kodesh. Yihyeh comes to include mikomakom. Any way you do it, even if you didn't count it and designate it as the tenth, as long as you took it as the tenth, even if you didn't say so. Yachol hayulomeh. So now, how far can we go? Maybe even hayulomeh v'natal asara. Asara v'natal achad. Yachol yumusarin. This is the halacha in the Mishnah, but now we're going to see how we know it can't be. Talmud lomar asiri. It has to be the tenth. Taking one out of ten, you took one out of ten, but it wasn't the tenth. The tenth implies that there was some sort of, you set up ten and then you took one as the tenth. Ve'ein ze asiri, and this isn't asiri. We're going to end with Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Omer ma'aser. So now, he says this is, my time at Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Why does he think this does count as the tenth? Savar le'ka'abar Elazar ben Gomel. He holds like Abba Elazar, the son of Gomel. Titania, here's a braita. Abba Elazar ben Gomel Omer, b'nechshav lachem trumotechem. It's actually b'trumatchem, trumatchem. Your trumat, now, even though it's really trumatchem, which is one truma, but your trumot. Your trumot is plural. How many trumot do you have? B'shtei trumot ha'katub medaber. It seems clear here, since it says your trumotechem be'rabim, there must be two different types of truma. What types of truma are there? Achat truma gdola ve'achat truma ma'aser. There's Truma Gedola that you give to the Kohen, and then there's Truma Maaser, which is the Truma that the Levi gives to the Kohen. Kishem Shatruma Gedola Nitelet Ba'omed U'Bamachshava. Just like Truma Gedola, remember you do 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th, depending if you have Ayin Ra'ah, Ayin Tovah, Ayin Benonit, like how much you want to give to the Kohen, how generous you are. That, you don't measure exactly, okay, I'm taking 1 out of 50. You estimate. You could do it Ba'omed, you could do it Ba'machshava, you could say, the ones on that side, I'm just thinking about, those are going to be my Truma, and they're designated already as Truma. So, since Truma can be done like this, Af Truma Maaser, also the Truma from the Maaser, Nitelet Ba'omed U'Bamachshava. Now, once we establish that, that's the first step. Now we say, U'Maaser Kari Rachmana Truma. Sometimes the Torah calls Maaser Truma also. Tichtiv kiat maaser b'nei Yisrael sheyarimu la'Hashem truma natati la'levim lenachala. So what do you see here? They call maaser truma, which means that we can basically insert maaser instead of truma into that pasuk, and then say that what? When it comes to maaser, you can also do it be'omed u'b'machshava. Now what kind of maaser are they referring to? Not maaser behema, they're referring to maaser dagan, of your crops, because that's what the pasuk is referring to, that you give to the levim. Now, so we have a lot of steps here. Number one, we started off with Truma. But we said, Truma means not just Truma, Truma Maaser. Then we said, well, not just it's talking about Truma Maaser, but Maaser is also called Truma. So we can say that the Pasuk is also referring to Maaser. What kind of Maaser? That's Maaser on the crops. V'itkish Maaser be'emala Maaser dagan. And we can make a comparison now between, we already talked about that, that Maaser, often Maaser be'ema can be treated like Maaser dagan. And therefore, Ma maaser dagan nital ba'omed u'b'machshava, af maaser be'ema nital ba'omed u'b'machshava. And therefore, maaser be'ema can also be estimated, which means you don't need to exactly count 10. You can just sort of designate it without actually counting to 10. You could see there were so many jumps in this drasha why Chachamim didn't agree with him about this, right? He kind of made a lot of assumptions in this pasuk, but he thinks that it can be done this. What he's basically saying is this can be done the same way all other maasers are done. It's not something unique that has to be done in a particular way. Yes, according to the Torah it does, but b'dievet, if you didn't do it in that way, it's obviously going to be considered maaser and have sanctity. He's also being kind of machmir, because what he's saying is he's adding sanctity to something the Chachamim don't think actually has sanctity. They think if you take 1 in 10, it's not sanctified. He's kind of being on the safe side, treated as kadosh, because maybe it really does work. Okay, that's it for today.